Today we're going to tackle a topic which is one of the most prevalent, fundamental, core concepts in halacha when you deal with Hilchos Shabbos. I would say that a huge percentage of shilas that come up in the context of Hilchos Shabbos revolve around this issue that we're going to deal with today. Now, this issue really requires many hours of study, and there are many different aspects to it, but we're going to try to focus just on a few basic elements that will help us appreciate when we have a certain shaila, what is it that's going through the mind of the rabbi or the posek who's dealing with this question. It may have to do with opening the door of the refrigerator on Shabbos. It may have to do with walking on the grass across the lawn to get to shul on Shabbos. It may have to do with walking past a sensor in the street on Friday night. There are so many different applications of this principle that we must, if we're spending a year learning Shabbos, we must address this principle. The principle is referred to in halacha is what we call davar she'eino miskavein, the unintended consequence. That is the topic for today, the unintended consequence on Shabbos. That's how the Gemara refers to when I'm doing one action and you define this action as an action which is a heter, it is totally permitted, but the consequence, the unintended consequence, there should be a bunch of sheets here. The unintended consequence is a maisa iser. So says the Gemara, Shabbos Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, source number one. One of the things that we pasken, halacha k'Reb Shimon begreira. What does that mean? The Tanya says the Braisa. Reb Shimon Omer, Reb Shimon says, gorer adam mita kisei v'safsal. You can drag a bed, a chair, and a bench. You can drag them on the earth, on the ground. In those days, they didn't have laminate floorings or stone floorings, generally. Uvovad, as long as shelo yiskavein lasos charitz. You don't intend to make a furrow. So, you're living in a house that has a dirt floor. You drag a bench. What might you end up with? A hole in the house. And that hole in the house constitutes a malacha d'oraisa of bone. If it's in the field, if it's where you might be planting your vegetables, so that would be the malacha of choresh. So Reb Shimon says, not a problem. As long as you don't intend to make the hole, you're good. That's the first opinion. But Reb Shimon is not the only opinion. If you look at source number two, the Gemara tells us in Beitza, here's a Mishnah, there's a machlokas between Reb Elazar ben Azariah and the Chachamim about certain things. And one of them has to do with how you care for animals on Shabbos and Yontif. And if you go five lines in, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Makardinus Abahema B'Yomtov. You can't scratch the back of the animal with a particular kind of brush, comb. Why? Bipnei She'ose Chabura. Because it makes a Chabura, a wound in the animal, which is a malacha. It's either a malacha of Tzoveya, maybe it's a malacha of Netiels Neshaba, it's some kind of malacha. Avon Bekartzvin, but you could do some other kind of scratching. So the Gemara wants to know, what's going on with this scratching? You're not intending to make a wound in the animal, you're trying to scratch the back. For whatever reason, that's the Gemara's discussion. The Gemara says, you know why? It's a problem for Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda thinks that unintended consequences are also a problem. If you were to ask Rabbi Yehuda what to do about dragging the furniture on Friday night, he would say, Usser! He would say, Usser. Now, there's a big discussion that we've shown him in Yuma and Daf Lamed Daled and here and other places, whether Rabbi Yehuda thinks on Shabbos this is Usser in a biblical level or in a rabbinic level. It's a good question. But this is true also for Kol HaTorah Kula, for other areas of halacha. The principle here is that we have a machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda on what we call a davar she'eino miskavi, an unintended consequence. So this is the first issue. This is what we call Dover she'eno miskafein. However, there's a catch. The Gemara says in Shabbos, the Kuflam and Gimel, in source number 3, the Gemara says, well, what happens? You have the following case. You have a mila to be done. You have a child that's born. It has an orla. It needs to be removed on the 8th day. But on the place of that orla is a nega of tzaras. So what do you do? There's a specific law not to cut off someone's tzaras. You have to take it to a kohen, supervise it, go through the process of tahara. You can't just cut off the tzaras. So now the Gemara is like, I don't know what to do, because on the one hand I have to do the mitzvah of Mila, on the other hand I have to cut off the tzaras. So says the Gemara, I have a pasuk. Omar mar, basar alfa pishye sham baharis. Even though there's tzaras on that place, on the orla, cut it off. You have a gzeras akasa, divrei boshia. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Halam alikra, davar sheinu miskavinu. It's a davar sheinu miskavin, it's an unintended consequence. Your thought is, your plan is, cut off the orla, the foreskin. Happens to be that the unintended consequence of this is the tzaras is going to be removed. But that's not your intention. So it's darvashin miskavin. So it should be permitted. That's the Gemara's suggestion. Why do you need a pasuk to tell you that it's permitted? Amar Abai lo nitzrucha ela l'Rabbi Yehuda. It's for Rabbi Yehuda. We just learned Rabbi Yehuda holds davar darvashin miskavin usur. So that's why I have to teach it to you. Because otherwise, Rabbi Yehuda would have said, Davar Shein Miskaven is Asur. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava Amar, no! Afilu Tema Reb Shimon! Even Reb Shimon, who when it comes to Davar Shein Miskaven is lenient, I have a problem. What's my problem? Why should this case be different for Reb Shimon? Says the Gemara, famous line, Moda Reb Shimon, fourth line to the end of this passage you have on the page. Moda Reb Shimon, and Reb Shimon agrees, Bipsik Reshe, with the cutting off of the head, Velo Yamus, and it will not die. So the Gemara says, what about Abaye? Va Abaye Lesle Hai Svari doesn't know this rule. Va Abaye Virava, they both said, Damer Tavar, Moda Reb Shimon, Bipsik Reshe, Velo Yamus, cutting off the head, it won't die. So the Gemara says, Basar Deshama Mirava, after he heard it from his friend, colleague, he heard it, Savra, he accepted it. So number one, there's the machlokas, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda about Davar Shein Miskaven, but Rabbi Shimon agrees when it's psik reisha v'lo yamus. What does it mean, psik reisha v'lo yamus? You cut off the head of the chicken and it will not die, because obviously in the Talmudic times, everybody was looking for Hanukkah presents for their children, or activities for them on Shabbos afternoon, because this is pre-clue monopoly risk. So what's the best activity you could find for a child? What's the greatest toy? Most fun. This is like the top Toys R Us seller. It's obviously the head of a chicken. No? Isn't that what you would expect? Your kids are all looking for? Great gift for the grandchildren. This Hanukkah, coming to an Amazon retailer near you, the head of the chicken. So the Gemara says, of course you need the head of a chicken for your kids on Shabbos afternoon because they're driving you crazy. You want them to play with something. So the Gemara says, so here's the thing. You go out to the yard. You're like, oh, here's the chicken. I'm going to get the head. And guess what? It happens to be that the chicken, at least in our experience, once you cut off the head, the chicken will die. But it's Davar Shein Miskaven. I didn't intend to kill the chicken. I just needed the head. So the Gemara says, Moda Reb Shimon. Moda Reb Shimon b'psik reisha v'lo yamus. When Reb Shimon said, you can drag the furniture on Shabbos, he was talking about a case where the earth, like today, it's 12 degrees outside, Meshuggah, Kol Hakavod, everybody's coming out. It's 12 degrees outside, so the earth is very hard. And you have a light chair like this. So if you drag this chair on the earth, it's very likely you're not going to make a hole. But in the summertime, after it just poured for, 2 hours, and you have a very heavy bench like this, Reb Shimon would agree you may not do that. Because it's a psik resha. It's true, it's an unintended consequence, but it's a guarantee. Akedekach, the Rambam's view, this is also a further big discussion, but if you look at source number 4, the Rambam, when he teaches you about Davar Shein Miskaven, Aval Osa Maisa, person who does something, Venasis Biglolo, and because of that something happens, Malacha Shevadai Teosa Bishvil Osa Maisa, that's called a Psik Resha, it's definitely going to happen, Afal Pishalon Iskaven Law, even though you didn't intend for it, Chayov. The Rambam thinks that according to Reb Shimon, this is not just an Issur D'Rabbanan, this is an Issur D'Oraisa. So I want to understand why. Why is it that a person who cuts off the head of the chicken, according to the Rambam, is chayav according to Reb Shimon? Why is it that this unintended consequence is now a liability? So take a look at Rashi on the top of the next page. Rashi's in Sukkah on Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. So Rashi's going to kind of tip our hand to one way of understanding this. Says Rashi, Motor Reb Shimon b'psik reisha v'lo yomos, but Omer, a guy says, Ech toch rosh behema zu b'shabbos. I'm going to cut off the head of this animal on Shabbos, as we all know from our life experience in raising children or taking care of children. Ve'eni rotza shetamos. I don't want that it should die. But dekevan de'efshar shelo tamos. There's no way that the animal will not die. Of course it will die. Rashi says, ke miskavein chashavlei. It is as if I had intention for that consequence. Don't tell me that's an unintended consequence. It's certain. Memela, says Rashi, it's as if you had the intention to do that. To do the malacha of Netil's Neshama, of killing the chicken. And therefore, even Reb Shimon will agree that it's usur. Ve'hecha, v'chi aminin davar she'inu miskavin is mutar kagon hecha de'ef shalei below isur. It's possible without an isser. And going back to the previous point, you might want to say rove, maybe. Now, this is also a tricky thing, and we're not going to get into this, because there is a Rashi in Zvachim and the Shitas HaRambam that sounds different than what I just said. And there's an amazing Ha'ara. I saw in the name of the Orsameach, but I also saw it. It's in the Merkevas HaMishnah, Reb Shlomo Lechelma, on the Rambam, that the Rambam has a slightly different way of viewing this, that psik reisha, there's a regular psik reisha, there's a super psik reisha. We don't have time for that today, but it's a big discussion. So let's just leave it from certainty to uncertain. Leave out the percentages for the moment. According to Rashi, if someone were to ask you, why is a psik reisha cutting, we're going to keep using that term, psik reisha, cutting off the head. Cutting off the head means certain malacha. Why is that a problem? Because Rashi said, it's as if you had the intent to do that. You can't say it's an unintended consequence. Of course it's an intended consequence. You know what's going to happen. That's how Rashi learns this. But 80 years ago, just one second, 80 years ago, there was a Gaon Adir, a tremendous Talmud Chacham, a world-renowned, influential, spiritual Torah giant. His name is Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. Shem Yikom Dam Mezchus Yagon Aleinu. Rabbi Chanan was the Rosh Hashiva in Baranovich. He was a recognized Gadol Hadar. And then when the war broke out, he had to go to Lita, and then he was picked up by the Germans, and then he was taken to a place, and he was killed. He was an Ola Tamim Mamish. There's in the Kovetz Ha'aras, there's a description in the back of what it was like being with Rabbi Chanan. People described when he went to the end. So Rabbi Chanan wrote a few Sfarim, but his students wrote up some of the teachings that he delivered in different masechtas. And this sefer is called Kovetz Shiurim. It's not written by Rabbi Chanan, but it was the students who wrote up the thoughts that he taught in the yeshiva. So even though he is gone, his neshama, his teachings, his Torah, it shines brighter than ever. So Rabbi Chanan, imagine he was sitting around with the guys in Baranovich in the shir. And of course, he knew all of Shas and every Rashi and every Tosafos and everything. So he said, I think that's an interesting Rashi. But he says, maybe there's another way to think about this. Take a look on the bottom. I gave you this is a picture of Rabbi Chanan on the right side. This is the Kovetz Shiurim in Ksuvos and Os Yud Ches. He says, Aleph, he gives you an example. Let's say you have a Nazir. One of the restrictions of a Nazir is that the Nazir is not allowed to cut their hair or take a shave. So the Nazir, here's one way to understand this. Aleph, you see on the fifth line where it says Aleph with the half parentheses. Kagon ben Nazir chofef. The Nazir goes like this. He's scratching his head. What happens when the Nazir scratches his head, especially if it has very thin hair? he's going to cause hair to fall out of his head. That's a problem. So he says, if the Nazir is chofef avalo sorek, the srika psik resha, if he just goes like this, you have a brush, and he brushes his hair, that's not going to cause hair to fall out for sure. But if he has hair that's very thin and he uses a harsh comb, then the hair is going to come out. That's going to be a problem. Diyesh lomar, how do you explain this? Kevan she yodea, since he knows de besrikaso, that when he uses the srika, yitlosh saros, he's going to pull out hair, mikri mechaving latlisha. It's as if you intended to pull out the hair. That's the pshat in psik resha. It's as if you intended. Beis, go to Beis. But here's another way to understand this. Two lines later. Kevan desrika hu psik resha litlisha. Since srika, the harsh combing, is a psik resha, then it's going to pull out the hair. Nimtza detlisha bechlal srika. That the act of combing is defined as hair removal. You hear the difference? According to the first Mahalach, similar to Rashi and Sukkah, the pshat is that when you do a malach shein sricha, davar shein miskaven with a psik resha, it's true, the act that you did is not a maisa iser, it's not an act that's forbidden, but it's as if you intended the consequence of iser. Whereas according to the second approach of Rabbi Elchanan, the act itself is now defined as a maisa iser. What's the difference? So Rabbi Elchanan says, brilliantly, this will explain the next wrinkle in this halacha. We have davar shein miskaven, we have psik resha, and then we have the next halacha, which is, what happens when the benefit of that unintended consequence, turn to the next page, when the benefit of that unintended consequence, what you want, is a heter thing, and the iser thing which is happening, you don't even want it to happen. You don't even care. Or maybe better yet, it's something that's bothering you. So let's say I'm in my house and it's Friday night and I'm too lazy to pick up the bench. So I drag the bench and the soft earth is definitely going to create a furrow. But what's going to happen? Now I have a furrow in my house and somebody who lives in my house who's responsible to keep it clean, she's going to start yelling at me. So that's a davar shein miskaven. I didn't want to make the furrow, but the furrow was a psik resha. But that's a psik resha delo nichale that I don't want. So what's the din in such a case? If you ask me, what am I doing? I say, I'm dragging a bench. But then you say, well, you know, when you drag a bench, it's going to cause a furrow. But then I say, but I don't want the furrow. I'm going to get yelled at by my wife. So what's the din in such a case? Davar shein miskaven with a psik resha delo nichale, that you don't want the malacha consequence of this. So says Tosfos, yeah?
Did you know what's going to happen? You want it or not?
Oh, you know what's going to happen. It's a psik resha, but you don't want the consequence. That's the iser. You would be much happier if the iser never even happened. And you're not doing it for the iser either way. You're doing it to get the bench. So says Tosfos. Yes, you definitely know the wife. That's a psik resha. Your wife will be mad at you about this.
What's it later?
Oh, so then we're going to assume that even though right now it's annoying, well, let's assume, for argument's sake, simply.
The ground grows and you're having benefit from something.
Exactly. So that's why the case, Ami's already mechavin, you already knew the Gemara here in Shabbos, obviously. So the Gemara there is talking about where the furrow, the case over there was a no lichale, it's in somebody else's yard, and I'm not going to get any benefit. Exactly. It's our dechavri, somebody else. And the truth is, if it was my best friend, then he was, so then Itaka would be nichale. So Tosfos says, I heard something. Tosfos living in the 13th century in France, he says, you know, I heard that there was a great Rishon, a great Talmud Chacham, his name was the Aruch. The Aruch, Reb Nasan ben Yechiel, who lived in Rome, he died in 1102. So he, you could say he was kind of a contemporary of Rashi, although I doubt that they ever met, probably never met each other physically, personally, but they lived around the same time, and the Aruch was from the great Rishonim. He wrote a little dictionary, and in that dictionary there are a lot of halachic, you know, footnotes and things that people learn from this. So Tosfos says, you know, I heard that the Aruch had an opinion about this. Pirish ba'aruch, see in source number 7, says Tosfos in Shabbos Kof Gimel Amud Aleph, Pirish ba'aruch, I heard that the Aruch says, Tepsik reisha delo nichale, like, could go into Ovid ba'ara dechavre, like, he drags the bench in somebody else's yard. Oh, or, v'kagon ba'acher she'ino ovo, somebody's not your friend. V'kakotzitz ba'heres b'shas mila she'in l'cho hana'a, you don't even enjoy. Why do you care that the mila cuts off the ba'heres? You don't care. Mutter l'chatkila! It's totally mutter! Totally mutter! Yeah, but if you go down about 8 lines, first word and learn is shahayayin. Ve'eno nira. Tosis is dead wrong. And Tosis quotes you 16 cases right here where he proves to you, in his opinion, that psik resha, delo nichale, is usr. It's not usr midaraisa, but it's usr midrabanan. So says Rabbi Chanan, I can explain this now. What's the machlokas between Tosis and the Aruch? The Aruch says, if it's a psik resha, the lo nichale, it's mutter. It basically goes back to being a davar sheinu miskaven. And the davar sheinu miskaven is heter gomor. It's absolutely allowed. Dragging the bench, if you're not necessarily going to make a furrow, and the truth is, it could be even if it's only 98%, and that's what many achronim say, and that you don't follow rov, and that what I said before was not correct, that's a discussion in achronim. Let's assume for the moment like that, that even though it's only 98%, still 2% is not called a psik resha. Even though usually in halacha we follow the rov, there's a big discussion about that. But if it's lo nichale, it goes back to being a maisa of heter. Says Rabbi Chanan, why would that be? If you understand that what is special about psik resha is like Rashi said, that the psik resha makes it as if you had the intention to create this result. It's all about the intention. Psik resha makes it that it's as if you had that kavana. But if it's lo nichale, you can't force me to have a kavana that I definitely do not want. Psik resha de lo nichale, it undoes the kavana that was created by the guaranteed result of the psik resha. But Tosfos says, no, it's not about your kavana. It's that when you have a psik resha, it's called the original action. That originally when I was dragging the bench, what was that called? That was called bench dragging. That's what it was called. Then when I had a psik resha, it was called choresh. It's called choresh because it's definitely going to be choresh. So now you're telling me, I didn't intend, I don't want that consequence. Okay, I don't want that consequence. So for purposes of Shabbos, Melechus Machsheves, you're not violating the Issa Daraisa. But what is it still called? Still called Choresh. And that's why it's Asur Midrabanan. So now you're thinking, ooh, this comes up all the time. All the time. I left the refrigerator door closed, and I have a bulb inside the refrigerator. My intent is, when I open the refrigerator door, my intent is to get the orange juice. But the psik resha is that the bulb is going to turn on. So now you have a question. Is that a psik resha d'nichale or lo nichale? But even if it's lo nichale, let's say I could care less. I never pay attention to the fact that the light is on in the fridge. I usually keep the light off. I never enjoy the light in the fridge. It's always very bright in my kitchen. I never have. So then that's going to be the machlokas between the Tosfos and the Aruch. How do we paskin on this? So the Shulchan Aruch on the bottom in page in source 8, Shulchan Aruch says, in the case here, it's talking about sticking a rag into a barrel and the rag has wine in it. So that's going to call schita. So it's a case where it's a psik resha de lo nichale because the wine is going to fall to the floor. You're not going to drink the wine. So you're doing schita, but it's not for your benefit. It's psik resha de lo nichale. Top line, source 8, left part of the column at the end of the line, yesh mi shamatir. There are those who allow that. Who is that? Who said that was allowed? Psik, ain't tzricha, excuse me. Javar shenu miskavein, psik resha, lo nichale. Who is that? Who was that? The Italian Rishon? The Aruch, quoted by Tosfos. Shulchan Aruch says, yeah, but go four lines down. V'cholku olav, and the other Rishonim, v'amru, last, I put in the bold. The bold is mine, not for the Shulchan Aruch, just so it's easier to read. Afal gav de lo nichale, kevan de psik reshahu, usher. So Shulchan says, I know there are shitas out there that are mako, but you should really follow the Tosfos. So let's put that on the back burner. Okay, good. So this is some Rishonim talk about, excellent, the difference between lo ichpasle, you don't care, and lo nichale, that you hate it. But the general consensus is those are synonymous from a halachic standpoint. It doesn't matter whether you don't care or whether it bothers you. Either way, we're going to put them in the same bucket, according to most achronim. Again, each of these issues has a lot to be unpacked. It's just all regalachas. Let's put this in the back burner. So far, we had davar shenu miskavein, unintended consequence. Psik resha, guaranteed result. Lichale and no lichale, interested or not interested. And this is all, right now, talking about Isurim d'oraisa. What about an Isur d'rabbanan? So if it's a davar shenu miskavein, of course it's mutter, it's even mutter on a din d'oraisa. What about a davar shenu miskavein, which is a psik resha on a malacha d'rabbanan? Not clear. Maybe they only created this stringency of a psik resha if the malacha itself is inherently an iser. The Rabbanan, and this is a much longer discussion, but suffice it to say, based on the Nesivos and others, the Rabbanan, they don't have the authority, the ability to make something to a cheftza shel iser. They could tell you not to do something, that's within their purview, and you have to listen to them, lo sasser, but they can't transform something inherently into a prohibited act. That's generally what we're going to assume. They can tell you not to do it, and if you did it, they can uproot any kiyum that you did, potentially. Like if you said Shema in a place that was also midi rabbanan to say it, they can tell you have to say Shema again. But they can't make that act inherently prohibited. They don't have that authority. So let's say you're going to do a psik resha on an issur d'rabbanan. What's the din in such a case? So if you go back 700-800 years, Rebbe, this is already, it's hinted to in the Meiri, in the Rishonim, but it's really clear in the Trumas Hadeshin, Rebbe Yehuda Isserlin. So you're talking 14th century in Ashkenaz in Germany, where he had a particular question. This is on source number 9. The question here is about when somebody who's not Jewish is going to pick something out of a communal oven. And when they do that, by playing around in the oven, they're going to cause something to heat up, and they're going to be doing a malacha, but it's not a malacha d'oraisa because the food is already cooked. So they're going to do some kind of malacha d'rabbanan. This non-Jewish person. Or maybe they're going to be doing a malacha d'oraisa, but it's being done by a guy, so you're only violating Amir La'akum. So what? That's kind of the context over here. So right at the end, take a look, four lines up. I only gave you a piece of the tshuva. Va'afki psik reishu le'inyan hachamin, even though it's psik reishu vis-a-vis the hot food, mikol makom yesh chiluk b'shvus d'rabbanan b'miskavin gomer l'lo miskavin, the psik reishu. Says the Trumas Hadeshin, when it comes to an issur d'rabbanan, we're not machmir in a psik reishu. So, here's an interesting thing. You know, you're going to ask, let's say sometimes it's going to be mutter to ask a non-Jew to violate a din d'rabbanan. So it's a mutter in the case of a chole or a zakein or, you know, somebody who's in need or a chole shein bo sakana, like a child, or a mitzvah, makom mitzvah, a lot of cases where you're going to ask a non-Jew to do something. What about, you don't have that heter, but what you're going to ask the non-Jew to do is going to be a psik reishi. So according to the Trumas Hadeshin, it's going to be mutter. What if the light that you have in the refrigerator is an LED light? LED lights have no filament. And as long as they have no starter, because sometimes the fluorescent bulbs have a starter that has a spark, that would probably be an issur d'oraisa. But what if the LED light, there's no starter, there's just halogen gas blowing around in there, or whatever it is. that's only going to be an issur d'rabbanan. So now you tell yourself, wait a second. Let's say I really want to open the fridge and I like the lights on in the fridge. It's totally nichalei. But the light itself is only d'rabbanan. It's not actually malacha d'oraisa to turn on LED light on Shabbos. It's only a din d'rabbanan. So I'm going to open the fridge door. It's going to be a psik reisha. Nichalei, I want it. Nichalei, but it's only nissa d'rabbanan. Says the Truman Sadeshen, mutter! Fast forward 300 years, 400 years, the Magen Avraham in his commentary on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, Shin Yudal Tzivkat and Hey, see in source number 10, Avo B'psik Reishiv B'malacha D'Rabbanan Sfiru Leila Truma Sadeshen to Mutter. He thinks that it's Mutter. And he brings a riot from a Mordechai, etc., etc. Three lines later, the last few words in this piece, it's a very long Magen Avraham, I only give you a little bit. V'li Sarach Ion Al Hagon. I do not agree, I cannot accept the pshat of the Truma Sadeshen. Magen Avraham disagrees. And the Mishnah Brura brings many achronim who follow the Magen Avraham. That even though the malacha that you did is only d'rabbanan, not allowed with the psik reisha. Comes the halakha of Rav Avadya in a bunch of tshuvas. He quotes this all the time. I gave you one. This is from Yechaveh Das, Chelek Beis, Simen, Memvav. This Shiloh is one of the tshuvas that Rav Avadya in Yechaveh Das, it's all about the tshuvas that he got, questions he got, he told over on the radio. He had a radio show, and every week he would talk about a shiloh that he got. You know, he was the Rav Rashi for many years. He was the posik, you know, unbelievable posik muflag. He knew everything that was there to be learned. It was beyond human comprehension. So Rav Avadya loves this cheshbon. Because right now we talked about two different things. We talked about the first line of defense, which is Davar Sheinu Miskaven with the psik reisha delo nichalei. And then we talked about Davar Sheinu Miskaven with a psik reisha on an issur d'rabbanan. Says Rav Avadya, let me give you a question, and we're going to put them together. Sheila, beged sinteti shebishas lavishaso opshitaso b'makom ofel. You have this synthetic garment, fascinating Sheila, that when you put it on or take it off in a dark place, it looks like there are sparks that are created from the friction. This is like when we were growing up and we used to go to the science center as kids and they had all those experiments. You know what I'm talking about? The zzz experiments? I think that's a scientific term, at least for me, because the extent of my physics is the zzz. That's what I know from physics. But somehow, that situation, you take it off, you turn off the light and you see sparks. Static electricity, exactly. Oh, there's a man who took physics. Static electricity. For us, it passed. So Rav Avadya wants to know, can you put on such a shirt and take it off on Shabbos? Ha'im mutar lelovsho o lefoshto b'Shabbos? O shema yesh lachash mishum isra havar b'Shabbos? So Rav Avadya goes through all the different sources. And then he says, so, good question. So first question you can ask is, maybe it's automatic, maybe it's not automatic. If it's not automatic, then for sure not. But then Rav Avadya says, and this is the klal, and this klal keeps coming up all the time. It's very nafkamina lamaisa today, especially because many of the circumstances of electricity, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, are derabbanan. Chazon Ish said electricity was bona, it's doraisa. But the majority of poskim accept Rav Shlomo Zalman that electricity is derabbanan. So now, says Rav Avadya, Mikol Mokom, I'm only giving you a little piece of the tshuva. Zeu rak bedavar sheikar isurim min haTorah, avol davar shu shvus midivrei sofrim, something which is only an issa derabbanan, kishe'eino miskavein, when you don't have intention, v'upsik reishe, and it's a psik reishe delo nichale. So it's a mashup of Davar Sheinu Miskaven with the psik reisha delo nichale, plus the whole Isser itself is only midrabanan, then mutar l'choladeos af l'chatchila. And then later in the tshuva, he starts with the steamrolling after his rayas. He knows everybody who was ever everybody, so I never even heard of half of these svarim. V'chei pasak l'gak alagon Rab Eliakim Jatino in the Sefer Agua Ba'alecha. He quotes also Reb Yitzchak HaKoin in the Bate Kahuna, Reb Yitzchak Olchan Inspector in the Bear Yitzchak, Reb Yosef Shol Natanson in the Shol Lumeshiv, and on Mar Sham, Maram Brisk, Reb Moshe Chevroni in the Masas Moshe, and on and on and on. So it says, Lefichach, fourth to the last line, Benidon Shalono in our case. She'in b'zeh kavona. You don't have any intention, v'lo hana, and no enjoyment, be it siras and itzotzos, in the creation of these sparks. You don't want the static energy to create the sparks. Harizeh b'chlap sikreishah v'lo nichalei. Umikeva, next line, she'ikar isra otzos nitzotzos urachmi d'rabanan. This is not a fire that's a malacha d'oraisa of wood and flame, and that's not it. This is just sparks. It's only derabanan. Sheyesh lahakel bo af lechatchila, and therefore lechein yesh lahater lechatchila lo bosh olifshot begadim sinfedim b'shabbes. Now you have the rules. When you ask a shaila, if it's nichale, so many poskim are going to say, if it's a psik reshit and nichale, we're going to follow the Magen Avraham. Now, those who want to follow the Trumas Hadeshen, if that's their psak, yesh ami lismoch. But now you have a klal bar in your mind to think through the checklist for the different circumstances that come up. Obviously, we're not talking about a makom chola. Of course, we're not talking about pikuach nefesh. But the basic principle is going to follow this line. You're going to think about this action that I'm doing. You know, when I walk into the garage, and the sensor is going to kick on the light. So, do I care that the light goes on? So you have to think about that. In every case, you got to figure it out. Is that a psik resha? Is it definitely going to go on? Forget Rove. Let's assume we're not following Rove. Let's assume it has to be 100% guaranteed. So it could be I'm walking on the street. I don't know if it's going to turn on or not. Darva shena b'skavet. It's not a psik resha. Let's say it is a psik resha. I know every single time if I walk in this spot, it's going to turn on the light. Do I really care that the light goes on? Maybe I don't care. Maybe I'm just as happy walking in the dark. It doesn't bother me. Or maybe I do care. You got to figure that out. And then the third question is going to be, what's even the bulb in that thing? If the bulb in that thing is not a filament bulb, or it doesn't have a starter, so it's going to be an Isra D'Rabbanan. So psik reisha d'lo nichalei in an Isra D'Rabbanan, says Rav Avadya, heter gomer. You don't have to worry about it. Walking into the garage, opening the refrigerator, all these kinds of things. Every time you're doing something that's a maisa heter, you then follow through on that checklist to figure out what are the consequences and what's really nichale and what's really lo nichale. And just we'll end with this, because I know it's a shorter time frame today. It's not about what's nichale in the moment, in the sense that obviously, of course, we don't want the light to go on Shabbos. That's not the definition of nichale. The definition of nichale is, what if it was Tuesday? What if it was a different day? You know, of course you don't want to violate Shabbos. But that's not the definition of nichale and lo nichale. Nichale and lo nichale is inherent in the action. If this is the kind of thing that you wouldn't want on a general Tuesday afternoon, so then that's lo nichale. But if it's only no, of course, let's say you forgot something in the car, and the car is, it's probably klisha malach dola iser, so theoretically you could open the door of the car for the tzorech of getting the thing out from the car that you need. You left your challahs in the car. So you could open the door, theoretically. But the light's going to turn on. So it depends. If you generally appreciate the fact that the light turns on during the week, so that's going to be a psik resha d'nichale. Now, it could be that if the light is only an LED or a derabana light, so it could be a makom tzorach gadol, if you don't have challah for Shabbos, so the posik might say to you, okay, kedai hu the Trumas Hadesh and lismoch alav in that case, because it's only... if it's only an LED, so then maybe even if it's nichalei. But if it's low nichalei, if you generally don't care, you leave it off all the time. So this is just, you know, there's so many other related discussions, but this is kind of like the basic framework to think about on this question of a melach shein tzricha, of a davar shein miskavi.